Forbidden Panel welcomes you to Panelcast, Forbidden Panel's weekly podcast featuring movie and comic news and reviews. And now, your hosts, AJ and Brian.
Hey everybody, welcome to episode 45 of the Panelcast. That's right, episode 45. I guess it's not really that special of a number, but there you go. It's a special night, though, because it's Thanksgiving Eve here for us Yanks, and I'm just getting ready to stuff ourselves retarded with food. But enough about that. Let's go ahead and talk about what's going to be coming up on episode 45. Some new news items for you, and we're going to be talking about the comics that we've been reading lately. And we've also got some Forbidden Panel updates coming up, and we also have something very special. AJ is going to reveal to us his secret shame, and I have to tell you guys, it's pretty horrific.
It's a bad one. It's a really, really bad one.
Well, I'm not going to ruin it just yet. No spoilers this early on. So we're going to go ahead, we'll take a quick break, and then we'll be right back in with some news.
Hi, this is Justin White of Necrosapien Press and artist of ZKS, the Zombie Kill Squad. And you should come check out ForbiddenPanel.com for all your latest geek needs.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Panelcast. Brian forgot to rudely introduce us earlier, so... In case you haven't figured it out yet, I'm AJ.
And I'm Brian. And I got a little excited. I'm sorry.
You got, you know, premature ejaculation. It happens, I understand. But, you know, it's not like anything different. You guys tune in basically to hear us, so you know it's us. But just for tax purposes. So, yeah, in this segment, we're going to talk about our news. All the comic book news and stuff out there. Since I really have nothing other than exciting Forbidden Panel news, which I'll hold off till later, I'll go ahead and toss it over to Brian. Brian, what do you got for us this week?
I got a few things going on in the comic book news world. One of the first ones I was going to mention is that coming next February, 2010, they're going to be releasing a comic book adaptation for the Star Trek movie. So I might actually read this one. I don't know. As I've mentioned before, I'm not a huge Star Trek fan, although I really did love the movie. So I might read it. I guess it depends on really if they're going to use this to kind of expand on the world that J.J. Abrams has kind of created, or is it just going to retell the story? I'm not sure exactly. Maybe it's fill in a little more details about what's going on in terms of, you know, the setup for the story as it is in the film and a little bit more about the characters' backgrounds. I think I probably would like that. I don't know if that's something that anybody else really... Well, I'm sure a lot of people are going to be interested. It's Star Trek.
Well, do you know if it's a direct adaptation of the movie we've already seen, or is it a continuation of the story, or just its own...
Well, that's what I'm not sure. From what I am, the first issue is an adaptation of the movie. But I don't know if it's an adaptation of the entire film, and then it just continues the story from that point, or if it's going to be used to sort of tie in the storyline for a new film. I know that J.J. Abrams has said in interviews that they are in talks for a second film, but nothing is really solid yet. So it may be that they're going to use this to sort of fill in the gaps up until the next one. I'm not exactly sure. But based off of the articles that I've read, the first issue will be an adaptation of the film. I just don't know how many issues that will extend for. I imagine trying to cram all of that into one comic book would be kind of thin. You know, it would really kind of take a lot out of the stuff that was in the film. So,
right.
I'm hoping what they'll do is maybe stretch it out for a few issues and then kind of go into some backstory and deeper into the characters. We'll see. We'll see how it goes. It may end up being the first Star Trek comic that I've ever read.
I used to read them as a kid. They weren't that bad.
Yeah, again, I just never really got into the Star Trek. I enjoyed The Next Generation, but that was about it. And even then, I didn't watch it on a regular basis. It was just, when it was on, I would sit down and watch it and enjoy it. But moving on to other things that I want to read, this is a book that originally came out back in 2005, and I somehow didn't end up hearing about it. But I actually came across this article in Popular Mechanics, which I thought was kind of strange. There's a second edition print of this book. I think it's coming out as a trade paperback. The book is The Physics of Superheroes. And I actually really want to... a professor, University of Minnesota professor named James Kakalios, I think. I don't know. I can never pronounce people's fucking names. But it just, this is a book that's going to be right up my alley. And basically, it's sort of like, you know, part pop culture, part physics lessons. And I always love those kinds of science books where it's the physics of some type of thing where they try to explain it. I had actually, a while back, had read a research paper where somebody wrote up a sort of like a physics paper based off of Superman's powers, and then going into explaining into detail how Superman really only has one power, and that all of his other abilities derive from this one power, which I thought was actually kind of interesting. I mean, again, it's not something that's actually a testable hypothesis, but it was entertaining nonetheless. So yeah, but this book goes into a lot of details, and even goes into things like not necessarily just superhero powers, but other things that have happened in comic book world, such as going over the death of Gwen Stacy, which people should know is Spider-Man's first love interest, and she ended up dying in a scenario where the Green Goblin throws her off of a bridge, and Spider-Man uses his web to catch her, and she ends up dying from the shock of it.
No,
he goes into stuff like that. So it's not just
what happens is that when he hits the web and pulls back, he jerked too hard and it snapped her neck.
Sorry, that's what I meant, was the shock of the stop, not from the scary shock.
Right.
But yeah, he goes into, so it's not just, it's more, you know, like physics of, like, you know, them running and jumping and powers and stuff. So it covers a lot of other things, and I really want to read this book a lot. So I may have to put this on my Amazon wish list. And I've got another news story. This one actually kind of goes along with a previous story that we talked about, where these librarians had been checking out and holding on to indefinitely comic books from their library because they didn't want people, like, they didn't want kids reading them.
This one that in the last
goes on the polar opposite. Yeah, I think it was the last one. And this story actually goes over the opposite of that particular story. Where in this one, it's a library in Bonner Springs City, and they're actually setting up, like, junior sections. Like, there's sections created for specific ages, and including things like comic books. And they're actually making an effort to make sure that they have age-appropriate comic books in the right sections for the various age groups, which this is something that I like, that, you know, the library is recognizing that comic books are a legitimate form of literature, and they're at least making an effort to make sure that kids have access to it and that they have access to the stuff that's appropriate for the particular age, rather than trying to just hold on to it and censor it so that nobody can have it. And really, this is what libraries should do. I mean, they should really, I understand there's a little bit of an obligation for them to make sure that kids are not checking out materials that are not appropriate for them, although I think that's really mostly the responsibility of the parent. But this is the kind of thing that I like to see. And, you know, they're recognizing comic books. And anybody recognize comic books, that's, especially in a situation like this, it always just makes me feel a little warm and fuzzy inside.
Yeah, and I find it really weird because, I mean, my local library has a comic book section in it. You know, it's where, like, I mean, it's all graphic novels, obviously, but, I mean, they have a section there for it, so I presumed that, like, most libraries would. And it's a shock to me when I learned that libraries didn't have this kind of section, because it is a valuable form of literature, if not literature, at least an art form, you know, that should be available for people to look into.
Right. I definitely think that comic books, they still kind of get a bad rap, but I think in this day and age now, people are really starting to realize that they're a legitimate form of media. They're not, I don't think, ever really going to be viewed on the same level as the great novels, or any, as long as people realize that they're still an art form, they're still some merit to them. There's still some value in comic books. Okay, and moving on now to a bit of depressing news. The first story I saw was in the BBC, but it was actually carried in a couple of other places as well. we reported recently, I believe it was last episode, that Comic-Con founder Sheldon Dorff had passed away. And unfortunately, one of the other co-creators of Comic-Con just passed away as well. It was Ken Krieger, 76, and unfortunately passed away from kidney failure. So it's kind of sad that a lot of these guys that were really instrumental in sort of pushing comic books into the limelight that they have now are passing away. So considering the fact that we do a lot of comic news and we're a comic book company, I think that in a way we kind of owe them a mention.
It explains a lot, though, because, I mean, and this is going to go into the Forbidden Panel news section when it comes up later, but it explains a lot as to why the restrictions are being raised for next year's booth count. And I'll get into that later on. But it's just sad to see, you know, stuff like that happening. It just shows that, you know, we may deal in the realm where mortals live, but we ourselves are mortal. And, you know, it's just sad to see it happen.
Yeah, it's always sad when somebody that was, you know, especially people like this where really they had a love of something and they wanted to share that with other people. And so when somebody like that passes away, it's always sad. Okay. Moving on to some more, a little more lighthearted stuff here. This one, I don't know how we ended up missing this at Comic-Con, but apparently this was something that debuted at Comic-Con, which I guess was kind of a big deal to some people. And it's not something that I've ever been remotely interested in, but I just found this entertaining as hell. Comic-Con 2009 debuted a special collector's edition of My Little Pony, which was comic book themed. And it's a little My Little Pony doll done up as Two-Face with like a lot of different like comic slope and detailing on it, and kind of made up so it looks like one side is sort of like dark and sinister and the other half is looks like it's wearing sort of a spandex kind of superhero outfit, and I have little like sayings and some onomatopoeia stuff on there.
Nice.
And it's pretty, I thought it was pretty hilarious. So I thought I would include that one in there. There's sort of a bizarre crossover of My Little Pony and comics. But there you go.
There you have it, folks. It seeps in.
And of course, any news segment that I do would not be complete.
Oh God, here we go.
Without me mentioning something that Blue Water Productions has done.
Can't go a week without it.
Blue Water Productions. I'm sorry. I'm really cheap too, but they just keep doing stuff. Blue Water Productions is putting out a special trade paperback for Black History Month. The paperback is going to be called Black History Leaders. And from what I understand, it's mostly just going to be a rehash of all of their Barack Obama, Colin Powell, Oprah, and Condoleezza Rice comics. So I don't know exactly what they're going to be doing in terms of black history in this. Maybe it's going to be a series. Maybe they'll delve more into it in terms of other things. But it just seems like it's just sort of a special repackaging of all the stuff they've already been putting out in an attempt to capitalize on it. Obviously, it's going to be coming out next February. Okay, Blue Water. I mean, people are buying them, so I guess they're going to do it, but it seems kind of funny to me that they're having like a special Black History Month and they're not really actually doing anything about black history. I mean, they're all modern political figures, so I guess at some point it will be history.
Well, it could be the fact that they are impactful to just, history. I mean, Obama being
it's
president
not really
right now.
Relevant.
Well, Obama being president right now is a moment in history. You know, you can't deny that it's a big moment and a change in the history.
Right.
So that one I can get. And maybe a little bit of Oprah, because she does
right.
A little
yeah,
bit
okay.
Help out.
I can.
But everybody else, I'm not.
I can
hearing.
Recognize that. Well, I mean, a lot of these people, they are politically influential. Maybe not Oprah Winfrey so much, but Colin Powell, definitely. Condoleezza Rice, I mean, has an undeniable political influence. I don't really, I mean, yeah, okay, Barack Obama being elected was a historic thing happening, and I can recognize that, but it just, it seems like they, what they should have done really is, like, release some comics about actual historical figures, but that's just me.
No, I see where you're coming from. You're looking at it as if history is something that's...
All right, well, I'm
going to
stop my bitching tirade here, and,
You're looking at it like some, it's something in the past, and something that we're looking at in the past. Whereas, where I see it is that history in the making, you know, or maybe they're just honoring those influential black leaders that are out now that are making the little bits of history or making their mark on history as it is happening now. You know, so maybe that's what they're doing, but I do disagree in the fact that they should not be republishing their work. What they should do is creating new stuff to be putting in the comic books for that. I mean, just rehashing it over again is just redundant to me, you know? And there's going to come a point in time where we have to stop looking at Blue Water and saying, damn you for doing these things. We should start blaming the consumer because they're the one that's still buying the crap, you know? So, I mean, if there's a market out there and they're making money off of it, then cool. But, you know, at the same time, that's like saying, well, we can't blame the crack dealers. We've got to blame the crack addicts. Now, you know, they're just as guilty as they should be, but, you know, it's just an endless battle at this point. But I do enjoy hearing your little tirades every week, so keep bringing them on, Brian. I'll keep listening.
Yeah, all right. Well, that's pretty much all I've got for the news segment, unless you've got anything else to follow it up.
There's a couple things I wanted to pop in there real quick that I had remembered that I could talk about. I just got the new Marvel Previews issue, which is laying out basically the next couple of months of what's going to happen in Marvel Universe, and I wanted to share that with you guys. First big thing that's going to happen is those of you who are Marvel fans, and if you are, you have my deepest sympathy because I'm right there with you. The latest incarnation of what's happening in Marvel is called Dark Reign, the latest big multi-issue, multi-title story arc that's going on. It's called Dark Reign, and it's basically how Norman Osborn is running basically the entire country. So, and I'm not really feeling any of the stories that's been happening. I mean, it's pretty all redundant at this point. It just feels like, to me, they're just stretching it out to make it last a year. Next year, the new multi-title story arc will be called The Siege. And this one I'm a little hopeful for. Let me read you the wiki entry on it so then you can share it with me. And there's also a commentary I want to add onto it at the end, but... Here it is. The storyline involves Norman Osborn choosing to deal with the last thorn in his side following Dark Reign. That is Asgard. Laying siege to it in the town of Braxton, Oklahoma, where it lies, Norman's intentions are clear, to remove Asgard so he can consolidate his power. However, he does not count on the reunion of the Big Three, Captain America, Iron Man, and Thor, and the consequences the reunion will bring to them. Marvel has announced the following events of the siege will be the beginning of the new Heroic Age. That was first hinted to by Eternity to Hank Pym. If you're reading Mighty Avengers, you would have seen Hank Pym, Giant Man, Goliath, Yellow Jacket, now being known as the Wasp, had increased his size so big that he moved all out of existing, the realm of normal existence, and ran into Eternity. And Eternity was like, "Yeah, you're one of my Big Three heroes, and we count on you. So go back and do your shit, and stop being such a little bitch." The side commentary I wanted to add in that is that we all know that DC has the Big Three. They're called the Trinity. Those three being...
I'm sure that's how the conversation went.
Right. But the Big Three being Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman. So it looks like Marvel's now consolidating their Big Three in contrast to that in Captain America, Iron Man, and Thor. Now here's why I have the problem. Thor was recently resurrected because apparently gods are eternal. It doesn't matter how many times they die. They just get reborn like the Phoenix. Iron Man, who's been kicked out of power and running around... I don't even know what he's doing. I stopped reading Iron Man comics after a while because it just got monotonous, but he's coming back. And Captain America. Captain America being Steve Rogers, who a few panel casts ago I revealed was indeed being revived after a year of only being dead, thus showing their lack in faith of the writing or their company by bringing back a character so soon. So here we go, these three icons, and none of them, if you notice, none of them are mutants. none of them are black. None of them are any race, except, you know, here you go. But here's my problem with this, well, you know, there you go. It just seems like Marvel's trying to take their big three, and Marvel's taking their big three and putting against their big three, and it just seems like another cross-promotional war. But The Siege seems very interesting in that the Thor comics as of late have been really good. For those of you who don't know, you know, all the gods, the Norse gods were killed. They were then resurrected. Thor went to go find him, and he had to raise Asgard, and he raised him on this property in Oklahoma. So it's basically like floating 3 feet above the ground in Oklahoma, and technically not on American soil. So they're still able to do that, and Norman Osborn is throwing a little bitch fit. So next year's multi-title storylines look like it's going to be very interesting, and I can't wait to read them. Hopefully I won't be too disappointed. Of course, knowing Marvel, they'll convolute it with like 20 different The Siege side stories and, you know, just crapping out all the other titles in the Marvel Universe to coincide with it. Now, unlike DC, Marvel has a tendency to do multi-title storylines that go on through the year. For example, this year it was War of Kings and also Dark Reign. War of Kings being what was going on in space between Black Bolt and the X-Men and all that, that battle going on. So this year they're doing the same thing. Well, they'll have The Siege, they'll have the Battle of the Hulks, and the Realm of the King. All three of them, which I'm very interested in seeing, because World War Hulk was just awesome. Planet Hulk was phenomenal. So Battle of the Hulks looks like it's going to at least finally bring an end to these, like, the Red Hulk and the Green Hulk and Scar and all that crap that's going on with the Hulk universe. So I'm looking forward to seeing that. Realm of Kings being the next story in War of Kings storyline. In where, you know, Black Bolt is finally named King. Medusa's name. Man, I'm so out of it, I don't even know who's named King. Somebody was named King, and now they're trying to learn how to rule between all the universes, between the Shi'ar, the Starjammers, the Kree, the Kral, all that stuff. So it looks like it's going to be pretty cool. Movie adaptations. Iron Man, I Am Iron Man, will be coming out next year, and that is the movie adaptation of the sequel to the Iron Man movie that was out 2 years ago, I believe it was. So that looks very interesting, and I'm looking forward to checking that out. Otherwise, that's pretty much all I had news-wise. Brian, if you had no more news, then we'll go ahead and take a break.
Hi, this is Brandi Offset of BrandiOffset.com, and every week I listen to Forbidden Panel's Panelcast, because AJ and Brian are the coolest dudes that I know. And because I like to hear my advertisement in between the Panelcast.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Panelcast. Before we go any further, I want to apologize for what may seem like we're having a real big delay in our feedback between Brian and myself, so I want to apologize for the technical difficulties that once again we seem to be experiencing. I swear to God, we just can't catch a break. We are having a blue water moment, basically. So I wanted to just apologize for that. In this segment, we're going to be talking about the comic books that we've read this week. I've actually been catching up on a lot of comic books, the weeklies that I've been missing out on, so I didn't have a chance to read any new series that would be worth of me talking about. Other than Haunt, I read Haunt and the second issue of Haunt, and that one's turning out really good. It's the one that's been done by McFarlane and Robert Kirkman, put out by Image. So if you have a chance, man, check it out. It's doing pretty good. Irredeemable, once again, I caught up on that one. That one's pretty amazing as well. The only other bitch I wanted to throw out at you was the fact that Marvel, in seeing the popularity of another one of my favorite comic book characters, I swear they can't leave my boys alone. Growing up, I was a huge Wolverine fan, and now they have oversaturated with the market so much with Wolverine, I just can't stand and bear witness to it. I can't read anything with him in it, which is unfortunate because everything Marvel does has Wolverine in it. So they are now doing it with my other favorite character that I had replaced Wolverine with, and that being Deadpool. In case you guys haven't noticed, Deadpool's got, like, I think 3-4 titles out currently. Next year, he's going to have Deadpool Core, where he basically is a mockery of Green Lantern Core. He started doing Daredevil Deadpool Team-Up, and, yeah, it just seems like they're oversaturating the market with Deadpool stuff now, because Ryan Reynolds made the character famous in the X-Men Origins movie, and he's having his own side movie coming out. So it just seems ridiculous what they're doing with it, and it's making me lose touch with another one of my favorite characters. I'm going to have to go find another one, or just stop reading Marvel Comics altogether. Damn you guys, what the hell are you doing? So as far as comics, that's pretty much all I got, just caught up on my weeklies. But I understand, Brian, that you've read some comics this week, so let's hear what you got.
Yeah, I actually read something. Good. Yay for me. Well, let's see. I caught up on the reading for Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep. I got over my little butt hurt from issue 2 and the problems therein. And so far, I haven't noticed any other real glaring inconsistencies like there were in that one. I don't know if they just had to rush that issue out or what. So I haven't read the latest issue, issue 6, that just came out, but I've caught up on everything else. And Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep has kind of a special place for me because it's the first Philip K. Dick novel that I ever read. And it's, for anybody that doesn't know anything about Philip K. Dick's work, I would suggest picking up the Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep comic as kind of a way to break into it. Because essentially it is the entire text of the story, the narrative, the dialogue, everything, with just a graphic representation of it. So eventually, when it all comes out, it will be the entire novel. And I think it's definitely probably one of his easiest books to get into in terms of Philip K. Dick. Some of his other stuff is a little more bizarre. He wrote a lot of his stuff when he was pretty high on drugs. So, and a lot of stuff about his drug experience. So, some of his other books take a little bit more to kind of really understand what his point is. But I think this is a good primer, and yeah, it's going pretty well. It just takes me back into reading this story. I love this story. The only thing that's my problem at this point is just having to wait, you know, once a month to get it. It's like getting a chapter a month from a novel, and that's sort of frustrating, but I understand that they kind of have to in terms of the comic genre. But at the very least, I would hope that this comic is going to get people interested in Philip K. Dick's work, at least for those people that are not already familiar with it. And I think it will, because it Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep, it's such an interesting story, especially people who like stories that kind of question about what is reality, what is it mean to be human, and, you know, people that are interested in things like in artificial intelligence and just technology in general. It's really, really a great story. As far as the other thing that I've read, I didn't read a lot of comics. It was just catching up, but I did sit down and read the trade for The Surrogates in the upcoming movie, and I had to say that I know we've already talked about this on the panel cast before, but
well, it's not so much an upcoming movie as it is a movie that's already been come out and out of the theaters already. So,
is it? I didn't even know it was in the theaters.
Yeah, it was in and out maybe 2 or 3 weeks.
Oh wow! Well, I guess that kind of speaks to what the movie was. I didn't even know. Like, I knew it was coming up, and then I never heard about it being in the theaters. None of the theaters around here carried it that I knew of. So, wow, that kind of disappoints me then, because I really like this comic. It kind of goes along, I think, a fit with Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep. It's very, very Philip K. Dick in a lot of the aspects of the story in terms of people using technology to expand their minds, and really, like, how does technology limit us versus how does it help us? You know, it's a lot of those types of questions that come up when you start sort of combining intelligence with technology, and not just intelligent people using technology, but actually sort of combining the two. And so, the one thing I have to say, though, is reading this comic, and even though going through, like, what happens at the end of the comic, which I don't really want to spoil, because I think it's already been, we've already done it, but it just, reading this comic makes me want to have a surrogate. Like, I'm all for this technology. I'm a huge technophile. I love, like, there's certain things where I don't like change at all, but when it comes to technology, I love it. Like, every new little detail or possibility of some type of technology that's coming out, I'm thrilled for it. Every time I see some new app coming out for my phone, or some type of new phone or some new gadget or gizmo that I can stick into my computer. All I do is sit there and drool and wish I had the money for everything. And so I definitely would want to get in on the whole surrogate technology if that ever came out. And I don't know, maybe that makes me weird, but I would love it.
Of all the things that you do, dude, I seriously thought that would be the one thing that made you weird.
Probably not. Yeah, I've got a pretty big list going, so I guess that just kind of fits in with the rest of everything that is Brian.
Right. Not that I'm complaining. I love everything
that's all the comments
that
I've read
you,
so far.
But, you know, hey.
Yeah, well, I'm a nerd. Like I said, I'm a tech junkie. I like technology. Any new tech, like everything, really, from, you know, the LHC to the latest smartphone. I don't care what it is. I just love technology, and I find it fascinating. And I think that's going to do it for me in terms of the comics that I've read. I didn't read a lot. I was just trying to catch up on some stuff, and I'm trying not to get myself too many comics right now with the impending holidays, so I don't want to kind of, you know, I've got comics on my wish list, so I don't want to be that guy that buys myself something that somebody else got me. So I'll probably be kind of lax on the comic reading for a little while. And if you don't have anything else to add, then I think we can go ahead and end this segment.
Cool beans.
We'll go ahead and take a quick break, and then we'll be right back.
Hey, this is John from Hightower Comics. I count everybody to go check us out at www.hightowercomics.com, where you will get the height of independent comics.
And we are back from our break. I know you guys missed us. And we're going to go ahead and start telling you a little bit about what is going on with Forbidden Panel. AJ?
Well, first up, we want to announce that, unfortunately, we will not be able to get a booth at San Diego Con this year. They are completely sold out
this
already.
This makes me a sad panda.
I'm seriously pissed off about it because I was looking forward to having our own small press booth and, you know, being there for the first time. But I'm guessing because they sold out already, so they may be doing something special, some sort of memorial thing for the founders that had passed away. I don't know what they're doing, but maybe it's just getting too popular for their own good. But you will be able to see Forbidden Panel in its first convention appearance at the Rose Bowl Comics and Collectors Show, which is happening the second Sunday in December at the Rose Bowl. It is being hosted by R.J. Canning and Productions and Four Color Fantasies, which is, you know, our friends at the comic book store, Chris Brady. Awesome guy. He's running the whole event himself. And we will have a booth there, as well as Brandy Ossett will be at our booth. Justin White will be at our booth. Brian, I know you're trying to get the day off, but hopefully you'll be there too. We'll be sitting next to the Hightower Comics booth, as well as some other famous artists that will be accompanying us at the show. So if you have a chance, make your plans now. I believe the date is December 11th or December 12th. Let me double check for you real quick, but just come on down. Even if you can't convince your girlfriend or someone to go with you, if you need that point of convincing, let them know that it's during the Rose Bowl swap meet, so they can go swap meeting while you're at the convention and talking to us. My understanding is that we're going to try and host a panel there, have a panel there, and of course, Forbidden Panel will be on that panel. It's our first outing, guys, so if you can make it down there, it would be really awesome. We could really use the support. Speaking of support, ZKS is done. It is finally drawn up and everything. It's going to be tossed over to Brian here in the next couple of days so he can begin the lettering, and we're going to send it off to the printers. So what we need is help from you guys, the audience, and our fans. We're asking for any types of donations or what have you so that we can gain enough money so that we can send it to the printers and get the comic printed. Any donation will receive a signed copy of the comic book as well as a poster. So yeah, please help us out. Brian is going to get that set up on our site. Just click on the Donate Now button and then follow the prompts and where it takes you. We only need $250, guys. We spent all our money getting the comic book together, so now we just need help getting it printed out. So if you can kindly donate, anything will help. $5, $10, what have you. Doesn't matter. Like I said, any donation gets you a free signed copy of the comic book, and we'll even mail it out to you.
We should do like a special edition panel cast. It'll be a panel-thon.
Yeah. Maybe we might do that. Who knows? We'll post it on Ustream and go from there. But keep an eye out because we'll be announcing a whole bunch of other stuff up there soon. We're going to be having our all the reviews that we do on the show, and you guys know we do a lot as well as what we do on the website. We will have an Amazon store up where you can go directly and purchase those graphic novels or trade paperbacks directly from Amazon. That way, while you're listening, if it's just in your head, you can just go ahead and purchase it right away and go from there. We're really moving forward, guys. We got 65,000 hits last month. We're already at 60,000 hits, and we still got a week left in the month. So we're doing really good. We really appreciate you guys' patronage and your help. You know, it's just rocking it out. So, yeah, that con will be on December 13th, 2009, and it will be at the Rose Bowl. It starts at 6 a.m. and ends at 4 p.m. So if you can make it out there, it'd be great to see you. We'll be giving some special mini posters away at the booth, as well as, you know, signing anything you'd like us to sign and talking to you guys. And we'll be interviewing everybody that comes by the booth, as well as anybody that is at their own booths. So, should be a fun time. Yeah, as far as Ribbon Panel News goes, I think that's about all I had. Brian, did you add anything you wanted to add in there?
I do. I just wanted to say that I want everyone to look forward to some more Geek Girls episodes. I've got a few geeky ladies lined up. So keep an eye out for those. I'm trying to get more regular in releasing those episodes. Try not to be so irregular with it. And, you know, if you know anybody that wants to be on a Geek Girls episode, talk about some geeky shit, send me an email, brian@forbiddenpanel.com.
Now comes the part you guys have all been waiting for, where I talk about my secret shame. And let me tell you, it's really, really painful shame.
Yes, the secret shame.
Are you guys ready for it? Here it is. I saw Twilight New Moon last night, and yeah, I am so ashamed. Believe me, I didn't see it because I wanted to. I didn't see it out of any desire. I saw it because I wanted to take a look at it so I can have something to talk about on the show tonight. And oh my god, this movie fucking sucks ass. I do not understand what the appeal is to it as far as being an adult male goes. Now, if I look at it from the female perspective, I can totally get where you're going at. You got all these little pretty boys up there. Taylor Lautner was built like a brick shit house on the show. You know, the guy that plays, I can't even remember his name, Bella's boyfriend. And they're all pretty boys. I get it. As far as storyline goes and plot and acting, it's ridiculous and almost laughable. The main character, the main male character, who I can't remember his name, but I'm going to look it up for you right now, is so emotionless and retarded that he has the... I swear, it's like watching Keanu Reeves up there. You know, all he does is mope and be sad all the time. It's like he went to David Boreanaz's School of Vampire Acting or something like that. It just doesn't make any sense to me how...
Wow.
You know, he still has a job other than the fact that he's pretty. And really, if that's what you're watching it for, because he's pretty, then you need to check yourself. I mean, sure, I'm guilty of going to go check out a movie because the chicks are hot in it. And I'm hoping that maybe they'll do, you know, I don't know. I don't know what they'll do, but I just hope I get to see them. But there's no way in hell that any of those movies are going to make $140 million opening weekend. I just don't understand what it is. And, oh my god.
Yeah, beat the Dark Knight. What the fuck?
What the hell? Even Harry Potter got knocked down. What's going on with you? It was just so annoying. Way annoying.
Never underestimate the power of teenage girls.
And that's what's sad. It's not just the teenage girls. It's guys are going too. It's older women going too. I was watching on the news where this group of ladies, mothers, you know, in their 40s, went and saw it midnight, opening night, and then went back the next day and saw it again. And their excuse was that they saw it opening night for them, and they watched it the second time so that they can see if it's good enough for the kids. No, it's you guys are pathetic. I just don't get it, all right? Robert Pattinson, Edward Cullen, that's the point. That's the guy I'm talking about. Now, here's some spoilers, okay? This is my review of the movie. The first quarter of the movie, it's basically broken up into three different parts. The first quarter of the movie is basically catching up with Bella and Cullen and Edward Cullen as to what they've been doing since the last movie. And they've basically both been still moping around, hanging out, going to high school. What a 109-year-old vampire is doing going to high school, I still don't get. But, you know, they're still doing their little playful games, and Bella's putting on the pressure to try and make him turn her. And he's like, no, not going to happen. I don't want it to happen. There's no way I'm going to put that kind of crap on you. But she keeps persisting. Once again, she accidentally cuts herself in front of the vampire family. One of the vampires wants to attack her. You know, and that's where he basically says, you know what, screw you, I'm leaving, bye. And he does it, obviously, because he doesn't, it's the only way she'll be able to deal with it. The second third of the movie is her hanging out with Jacob Black, who is this other Native American dude that, you know, obviously lusts after her, and she is not really lusting after him, but more along the lines of just wanting somebody to be there and fill in the void that Edward left when he left. So we get like 45 minutes of them almost kissing, pretending to be in love, but not really in love. She decides to go through extreme sports mode to try and have the adrenaline fill her stuff up. And that's just ridiculous. Then the last third of the movie is her running to Italy to try once again save Edward Cullen's life. Only to be subjected in front of the vampire council in Rome, where they discover she's immune to their powers and can't wait to see her turn into a vampire.
This is boring me just hearing it.
It was complete crap. The special effects were whack. The vampire, the werewolves were just big furry CGI letdowns. And the story was predictable as all hell. The plot had more holes in it than I knew what to do with. And again, I tried to be open-minded in watching this. I tried to be like, okay, well, how is it appealing to anybody? How can this have made this much money? You know? And from what I've read on Wikipedia, the movie basically follows the book, you know, as far as like storyline and what's going to happen and all that stuff. But it's just, oh God. And Kristen Stewart, I don't understand how anybody finds you attractive. You have a nice body, yes, but the fact that you can't look anybody in the eye, like, what the fuck is up with that? You act like you're stoned and depressed the entire time. You have no emotions. Your face is a statue of emotionless retardation. You know, you emote, goddammit. I get more emotional range out of my
pinky
toe.
Maybe it's just rigor mortis, because it's dead.
I don't know what it is, but she has the same look on her face all the time. The entire movie is her whining and crying. She wanting to kiss somebody, not wanting to kiss anybody. And, oh, man. I don't even see the bitch having a smile. I tried watching this other movie that she had been in between the movies, that Twilight and New Moon, and that was Adventureland. And guess what? She had the same emotional range in that movie that she does in Twilight. She had no reason to. But, I mean, she was banging Ryan Reynolds in that movie, for Christ's sake. She should have been happy. I know a lot of other bitches that would have been happy to bang Ryan Reynolds in that movie. But no, she has no emotional range. And the fact that all these girls are going in here, I mean, grown women are going in here drooling over Jacob Black, that character Jacob Black. He's 17 in the movie, or 16 in the movie, 17 in real life. You're drooling over the kid that played Shark Boy in Shark Boy and Lava Girl. Come on now. Does it really warrant $140 million opening weekend? Is your life that
this
vapid and
boring? This story is making my horny go away.
Right? Is your life that vapid and boring that you need to go and have it substantiated by watching this film? There is nothing interesting about it at all. And I'm a big werewolf vampire fan, you know? I saw the Underworld series. That doesn't tell you how big of a fan I am. And the effects in the Underworld series were a hell of a lot better than Twilight. Thank you. But in this one, it's... All of a sudden, the werewolf boy decides to join the shirtless Native American club. Like, what the hell? Dude, it just made no sense. They pieced it together wrong. The editing was horrible. They had parts where her life was in danger, she would see this shadowy wisp of Edward Cullen giving her advice, and it was the worst effects I've ever seen in my life. And he still couldn't have emotion range. I couldn't tell if he was sad to see her in danger, or if he just fucking forgot to take his Xanax that morning, because he had no emotional range in him whatsoever. I don't know. It's ridiculous. If you guys are into the movie, fine, cool. If we lost losers because of it, that's fine, cool. But this is just my opinion, and I don't understand what the hell you guys see in this movie. It's not any good. Now, at least Underworld, you know, Kate Beckinsale, as hot as she was, at least the movie had a lot of action. It had a decent storyline. You know, stuff you can follow. The CGI effects were awesome. The action was badass. You know? This one lacked all of that. It was a sappy, shitty romance story that made no sense because this bitch couldn't figure out where she wanted to go. And, hello, Bella, in case you haven't noticed, you attract the undead and fucking animals. Okay? So, there's something wrong with your pussy, and you need to get that shit checked out, because you're just attracting all kinds of bad shit. And there you go. That's my review of Pneuma.
Wow, I don't know how to feel about that.
Yeah, it was, I don't know. And what's sad is, like, again, I will continue watching these movies so I can review them on the website, but know that, understand the pain that I am going through for you, the listener, and our fans. So hopefully you can be sympathetic to my pleas and my tears, you know? So there you have it. That was my secret shame.
Glad I did not experience that pain.
Yeah, dude, it was... It would have been equivalent to you and your feelings of celebrity-made comic books and Blue Water Productions. That was what Twilight was for me. I felt like I was a vampire in the sun while watching this movie. You know, that's the kind of pain I felt like was in. And freaking Dakota Fanning has a random cameo in it. Again, further proving that she's going to turn into a big slut when she gets of age, because every movie I've seen her since she's grown up, Push and this movie, she's just looks like a dirty little bitch, you know, growing up. And it's depressing because she's a phenomenal actress. She was amazing in I Am Sam and all the other movies that she's been in beforehand, with the exception of Cat in the Hat. And to see this is what she's becoming? What, did she go to the Olsen School girls of fucking growing up? Like, what the hell? So yeah, there you have it. Brian, if you had nothing else for the segment, we'll take a break and come back and wrap things up with the show.
Forbidden Panel is currently looking for artists. If you or someone you know would like to join us, please visit www.forbiddenpanel.com.
And everybody, that wraps up episode 45 of the Panelcast. I want to implore you all to please go ahead and send us some emails at aj@forbiddenpanel.com or brian@forbiddenpanel.com if you have any sort of comments or questions about the show. I would also like to ask you to go to our companion websites such as necrosapien.net, hightowercomics.com, brandyossett.com, 4colorfantasies.com, and if anybody's interested in attending the Comic-Con that's going to be going on at the Rose Bowl, go to rosebowlcomicshow.com. If you're a vendor or an artist and you're interested in getting some space there to show off your wares, go ahead and go to rosebowlcomicshow.com and download the PDF application and submit that. I think that's pretty much going to wrap up everything, unless you've got any further input, AJ.
I'm good to go. I want to wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving, though.
Yes, happy Thanksgiving to all of our American listeners and to everybody else. Have a great Thursday.
Panelcast is brought to you by Forbidden Panel. Please visit us at www.forbiddenpanel.com.